Welcome to Absolute Truth Absolutely, the weekly podcast powered by LWYM and your host, Gio. If you're uncompromising in your search and preservation of the truth, you've come to the right place. Now here's your host, Gio, with Pastor Jesus Martinez.
Hello, ladies and gents. Welcome to a new edition of Absolute Truth. Absolutely, we are here with you another week, and I want to thank you for downloading these podcasts, for listening to these podcasts. We hope they are a blessing. We hope that they edify you at the same time. And as usual, I am here with our faithful servant, my father and pastor of Living Word Church in Miami, Florida, Jesus Martinez.
Thank you, Gio. Glad to be on board one more time so we can share good news with God's people.
Absolutely. Today's topic is a bit of a controversial one, not in the respect that you get many of the pundits on our case, but rather you get a lot of the young people might turn against us. Why? Because we're going to talk about extensive cell phone usage and extensive social networking. Some people might say, oh boy, here comes these antiquated two-bit nut jobs to tell us about how it is that we're always on the phone texting and we're always on Facebook, this, that, and the other thing. But there are particular reasons why we're calling attention to this, because we see that more and more young people in our generation are stopping, they're leaving that area called reason and logic, which every human being should use, dormant, and they are readily just handing over private information on posting stuff on social networks and texting away these things, which in reality, it's a waste of time and a waste of gray matter.
Gio, when a few years ago, young people were complaining about the elders and their knowledge of the sun, and that is, they used to tell us, stay out of the sun. It's not good for you. In excess, it's not good for you. And we said, leave us alone with that stuff. And then skin cancer started to just, you know, break out of the borders, and people developed skin cancer left and right. And not only that, people at 45 looked like 85. They looked like old camels. All of a sudden, the people that were telling us stay out from the, you know, stay away from the sun, don't abuse the thing, they happen to be right.
Yeah.
And now we are starting to get information. We are starting to see the damages, what could really happen when people get into this virtual mode and they live there practically all day long.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I mentioned in an article that I posted that it's almost as if these kids are using the virtual world as an escape from the real world, when it should be the other way around. The virtual world should be something that you do at work or whatnot, because we basically use computers almost all of the time. We've become very dependent on them. As a matter of fact, there are studies that show that people have almost become dependent on their cell phones. They can't live without their cell phones. What used to be a commodity is now, in many people's eyes, a necessity. Again, this is a matter of people's opinion. I don't know. But you see that now, nowadays, a lot of young kids are sticking their noses, figuratively speaking, although it almost looks that way, on their cell phones, and they're texting away. And it makes one wonder how or what are the dire effects of a person being on that cell phone continuously. For example, a Pew Research Center study shows that an average adolescent will spend an inordinate amount of time on their cell phone. What does this mean? Well, they send and receive about 50 texts a day. If you use that average number, this leads to about 1,500 texts in a month. And now, if you multiply that by 12, which is the months in a year, that's more than 18,000 texts in a year. I mean, you look at that number, and that is an astonishing number, how much time these kids are writing down messages, which, by the way, are extremely abbreviated, and they are constantly misspelled, and they're sending this stuff back and forth. No wonder our kids are struggling to pay attention in class. No wonder our kids are thinking fragmentedly.
If I were to tell you, let's go back to the 8-tracks. Let's go back to cassettes. You would tell me, listen, Dad, you go back to your 8-tracks, you go back to your cassettes. I'm going to stay with my iPods and I'm going to stay with my CDs, right?
Yeah.
So why are kids reverting back to something similar to Morse's code without the code?
Exactly.
Because everything they write is out there perpetually.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, it's sad to say, have come to figure this out because it hit them in the face, when it came time for getting into college, getting a better job, the information that they put out is out there, and now it works against them. Yeah. So I don't want to go back to the 8-track. Listening to a song that you enjoyed meant going around the other three songs that was in that fourth of that tape so you can get there again. I don't want to go back to cassettes either. I, too, enjoy technology. So why would I revert back to texting, for example, yeah, when I can get you on the line, I can have my hands free, be a Bluetooth, and just have a nice conversation with you?
Yeah.
But it's part of what happens when something turns popular and we don't see the master's hand, the puppeteer's hand behind that and what it is they are trying to do. And from my vantage, from the way I see it, Gio, they're looking for ways to control you and to have you leave information out there that in the future can hurt you.
Yeah.
And it's also a marketing thing, because this way they know exactly what you're thinking and they will cater to you accordingly. And so you become a purchasing tool. They want you to purchase something, and so they'll push that something down your pipeline, and at the end you're just a tool, and you don't even see it that way.
Oh, but it's a form of social engineering. I know that's a term that you've used in conversations with me before. Let's look at, for example, switching gears just a little bit to social networking, because I think the cell phone thing and the social networking thing, they're kind of tied in, because the kids find a way to kind of communicate with each other. And let me say this, there's a lot of adults that are also in this virtual mode.
Mm-hmm.
You see it. I mean, you talk to a lot of people and you would think, well, maybe they've reached a level of maturity that they should have reached, where they are finding out about their world, their surroundings. Maybe they're dedicated to higher learning, whatever the case may be. But that's not the case. But the case for most of these people is, let me go to my Facebook wall and see if my friend finally got out of the bathroom. This, I'm not making this up. There was a statistic, I forgot where it was that I saw it, I wish I would have written it down, where it says 22% of teens have already admitted to posting status updates on their Facebook or texting their friends from the toilet. I'm not making this up. This is how ridiculous this has gotten. But nevertheless, Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook's founder, said, I think it was a couple of years ago, that eventually this new generation that's up and coming, when they grow up, when they get out of high school, when they get out of college and they're looking for a job, eventually they're going to have to change their names. Why? Because of the amount of sensitive private information that they're posting on their Facebook statuses, on Twitter, whatever the social network medium might be, that could cause problems for them. For example, employment in the future, grade point average in the future. I mean, we already know that there are various employers around the country that are looking to people's Facebook pages to see if they're a liability to the company or not.
You and I both love our freedoms and our liberties. And what I'm going to describe next has not gotten to the point where it needs to get to, or perhaps the insurance companies haven't reached their boiling point. But if a law were to be passed where once the police officer that arrives on the scene of the accident has the right to ask the two drivers or the people involved for their cell phone, and then it is proven that many of these accidents were caused by people who while driving were texting, what do you think would happen to our civil liberties if this becomes a law, because the insurance companies complain, because it is very costly to repair vehicles and then, you know, bodily damage and all that. And so without noticing, our enthusiasm to embrace something and to use it doesn't let us see the trouble that lies ahead. Because I believe if it's not now, it's maybe 5 years on down the line, the insurance companies are going to complain. They're going to take their high-powered lobbyists. They're going to go before Congress, and they're going to get something to, you know, maybe a state level, or a federal level. Well, people will have to turn over their phones once they're involved in an accident.
Yeah. Yep.
And I'm willing to say that many, many more accidents today are being caused,
yeah,
because people are texting while they're driving. Yeah. And then on the latter end of that, more liberties go out the window. I myself have had to avoid many an accident because of people, you know, swerving and swaying because they're texting.
And then the other thing about all of this is also just, and I think we'll get to that in a second, but also is the amount of gray matter that does not get used by a new generation. In other words, they're so enthralled with technology that they forget about higher learning. They forget about, you know, their surrounding world. They're Christians. I mean, I've seen a lot of Christians. I remember...
Yeah, a lot of the stuff that gets texted is extra trivial.
Extra, and that's putting it lightly, if you will. I mean, in this article that I wrote, I said the following. I said, I don't want to see these people's resumes. That is, if they know how to put one together. What are they going to put? OMG, you know, and put abbreviations left and right. It's hilarious. But I mean, for example, you go to YouTube. Sometimes you're looking up a video for research or whatnot, and you see the comments. And you see the amount of misspelling, and you're like, no, this cannot be happening. And we're talking about simple words here. We're talking about simple words here. People don't know how to spell it. And I'm like, this cannot be happening. Again, some of the skills that I was taught when I was younger, for example, putting together an essay, putting together something as simple as a paragraph nowadays seems almost
sentence.
Impossible. A sentence, exactly.
A cohesive train of thought.
It's almost impossible for a new generation. And somebody might say, why are you mocking? Because this is something that you should know. This is something, a basic skill that any kid should know. And they're not able to do this. And it's obvious that they're spending all of their time, an inordinate amount of time, in the virtual world. So eventually reason and logic gets put in the back burner. This is why you see a lot of kids, when you try to reason with them, when you try to go step by step with them in a logical process, it's like they're yawning and they're out of it. They're detuned, if you will.
Some of the people that are doing cashier work, they are so lame, so out of it, that they have little drawings of the merchandise that they're ringing up. I had one young girl basically beg me to help her with the change that I was supposed to get back after my purchase. And so, you know, you hate to mock, but sometimes it's inevitable.
It's unavoidable. I mean, I'm pretty sure the people that listen to us have gone up to a grocery store or something and purchased something, and you see the cashier, when they don't have what they're supposed to give back, they're looking at the, you know, the cash register thinking, how much am I supposed to give this person back? It's like, you know, $50, and you give them $100, and they're looking at you like saying, how much am I supposed to give you in return?
Yeah. And the problem, Gio, is yes, we are definitely losing tools that we need in the future for the better jobs, for the jobs that require thinking. But also, it's control. I remember going to the grocery store with my parents, and these cashiers, man, they were fast. They were hitting the buttons. Now everything is scanned, yeah, but everything is controlled.
Well, but in what you're saying is the following. A lot of the technological advances, what they have done is that they have shifted the thinking. In other words, instead of human beings doing the job of thinking, now the computers are doing everything, so we no longer have to think.
And also on the flip side of that is the control, the absolute control of everything, because believe me, Big Brother is watching.
Yeah.
And you don't want to get to that place, and I think we're probably in a place where it's irreversible, where everything and anything that you believe, say, or do is known and eventually challenged. And you could be facing fines, jail time, just for an opinion, yep, just for an idea, yep, just for a thought that you have expressed.
Yep.
With the hate crimes, the laws that cover hate crimes, this is not only a plausibility, it's a high possibility.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing that I see with this also. You look at, and you were talking about control. You look at individuals like Eric Schmidt, which is the CEO of Google, and everybody knows, there's been studies done on this, his ties to the Obama administration and to the government, and Google's ties to the government, are scary, to say the least.
Yes.
And Facebook, the same thing. Their privacy laws are extremely weak. We're talking about a weaker sister, if you will. And yet people are posting this stuff on a daily basis without knowing that someone is watching. And on top of all of this, you've got, because some people say, well, how does Facebook make all of its money? Well, who do you think they sell your information to? Who do you think they're giving your information to, what you post? A lot of young people don't know.
We haven't even covered the predators.
Exactly.
That are out there.
Yeah.
You know how much crime is committed today because people post stuff on Craigslist and the other lists that exist, and boom, they get taken. And here in South Florida, we had this situation of a Marine that got shot, was it 5 times?
Yep.
He was going to sell a ring, and he was set up.
Yep.
I mean, it's amazing the amount of damage that is being caused by these things. I'm not saying get rid of them. I'm just saying make sure you understand what's involved and how you are going to use them wisely.
Yeah. Here's a quote from Mark Zuckerberg, the Facebook founder, talking about, for example, their privacy laws. And it says, quote, "People have really gotten comfortable not only sharing more information and different kinds, but more openly and with more people. That social norm is just something that has evolved over time. We view it as our role in the system to constantly be innovating and be updating what our system is to reflect what the current social norms are," end quote. So in essence, he's saying, you're willing to give out more information, we'll help you put it out. But he never tells you the other side of it. You're going to post more information, more personal information, we're keeping it, and we're selling and giving away your personal information.
And just because you become comfortable with something doesn't make that something right. You could become more comfortable with nudity, and it doesn't mean that it's right for you to go around, you know, in the buff.
Well, do we need to go there? I mean, San Francisco?
There you go.
I mean, we don't need to go that far with that, but what we're trying to say is the following. We've already covered a couple of areas. First and foremost, we've seen how a young person and even many adults being enthralled in the virtual world, how this can bring a deterioration of being able to think logically, being able to reason things out because they're allowing machines, computers to do all of the thinking for them. And it's almost as if they're in a state, a zombified state before the screen because all you're doing is just watching a screen for hours on end.
Gee, it's like they never left their high school year for their college years. Yes. It's amazing the way some of these people think.
Yeah.
They're still in that mindset. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, but it's a good point. I mean, you hear them, for example, when you ask them about critical issues surrounding our nation, our country, our time, and other nations and stuff, and you ask them, what do you think about this? They're like, well, I don't know what to tell you, but I know that Kim Kardashian came out with the latest perfume. that's what they'll tell you. I mean, it's an amazing thing. I heard a statistic the other day which says that only 45% of young Americans nowadays know what year we declared independence from Britain. And they don't even know who we declared independence from, if they know that we declared independence in the first place.
They've never heard of Britain.
They've never... but it's the truth. I mean, a lot of young people, you ask them, who's Adolf Hitler? They don't know. They have no idea because this stuff isn't taught in school anymore. So what we're trying to say is...
Isn't he a rapper?
He might be. There might be somebody called out there. You never know. But what we're trying to say, what we're trying to give an advice is the following. We're trying to say, get away, put down the cell phone, put down the social network, pick up some books. More importantly, pick up the Bible, of course. That's the first advice. But secondly, pick up books. Believe it or not, one catalyst for the imagination are good books. Because books, a good author will get you to spark your imagination. What does that mean? For example, there are people that like novels. There are others that like reading into history and whatnot. I was reading a book not too long ago, and it's one that I recommend. It's not a plug for the individual because I don't see eye to eye with him on everything. I don't think I see eye to eye with him on many things. Is Bill O'Reilly's book on Killing Lincoln. The way he writes and the way that Martin Dugard, they put together the story, it's something that in your own mind, you're already going back to the 1800s, mid-1800s, and you're kind of seeing it.
They draw great verbal images.
Exactly. And at the same time, they're teaching you history.
Yes.
So you're getting the best of both worlds. You are learning history, and at the same time, you're kind of drawing, painting a picture in your own mind of how it could have occurred.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing happens with the Bible, and this is something that I advise many young people. They say, well, the Bible's boring. I said, but wait a minute. Is it boring because you have believed what people have told you about the Bible, or have you taken the time to read it? Because it's amazing the testimonies I get from many young people and many adults, you know, in that respect also. Once they started reading the scriptures, it's the same effect. You're reading history, but at the same time, your imagination was sparked because you're getting the words of Christ. But at the same time, the narrators are telling you, Jesus went to this place, he did this. So it's kind of like it sparks your imagination. And at the same time, it gets your reasoning, your logic working, and your dependency from all the electronic devices. You notice that it starts cutting off to the point where all of the trivialities in the world, now they seem repugnant to you, disgusting, because you know that it is a waste of time.
Hey, and you can always share it with your friends with a statement that goes something like, God texted me 66 books.
That's a good point.
Absolutely.
That's a great point. Man, today we've had a fun-filled program, a serious program, but a fun-filled program. I'll give you that much. I'll give you the last word if you have any advice or last words.
I'll be texting you after the program is done. I'm just glad we have the opportunity to take a fresh look, maybe a look that people don't actually care to hear about, but nevertheless, you know, it needs to be said. And so I just appreciate the fact that God has allowed me to share these moments with you and with our audience.
Absolutely. Same here. The feeling is mutual. And we want to thank all of you for listening, for downloading these programs. We try to make them as loose as possible. A lot of times these programs can be very dead, not very upbeat, and we try to give you a biblical perspective, but who says we can't have fun while we're doing it? So
absolutely.
We want to thank you again for downloading these podcasts. If you have any questions, please drop them. Drop us a line at ata@lwym.org. That address is ata@lwym.org. Visit our website, lwym.org, and ATA's website, lwym.org/ATA. Until the next edition, may the Lord shine his face upon you.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or suggested topics for future shows, send them our way to info@lwym.org. That's info@lwym.org. Visit our website in order to download past episodes and subscribe to our free email updates. The web address is www.lwym.org/ATA. This has been Absolute Truth Absolutely. Absolute truth in a world full of uncertainty.